The First Alert Weather Center.
And right now, we're sitting at 58 in the nation's capital.
At 659.
You're listening to WTOP, Washington's news, traffic, and weather station.
WTOP News. Facts matter.
Good evening. I'm Sean Anderson.
And I'm Ann Kramer. Coming up,
pro-Palestinian protesters at George Washington University have now hit the deadline to move their encampment off the campus.
We'll have a live report on the demonstrations as D.C. police may be trying to take down those tents right about now.
A strict curfew announced for one of the busiest parts of Prince George's at National Harbor. I'm John Doman.
A high school athletic director is accused of using artificial intelligence to make it sound like a principal was making racist remarks.
A service of remembrance for the 7 World Central Kitchen workers killed in Gaza. This is Kyle Cooper.
It is draft night, big night for the Commanders.
WTOP at 7 o'clock.
Supreme Court hears Trump immunity case arguments.
We're writing a rule for the ages.
Jury hears testimony in Trump criminal trial that
directly implicates Donald Trump.
Harvey Weinstein 2020 New York rape conviction overturned.
The judge went too far in allowing those pieces of evidence in.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The U.S. Supreme Court is mulling over the issue of absolute presidential immunity after hearing the case involving former President Donald Trump's efforts to subvert the results of the 2020 election. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The defense presented first.
Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it.
The prosecution argued the framers did not intend blanket immunity.
They therefore devised a system to check abuse of power, especially the use of official power for private gain.
Law professor Lori Levinson says the justices must decide which presidential acts have immunity, or they could send the case back to a lower court. Either way,
it's going to make it very difficult for the special prosecutor to bring this case before the election.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Developments in former President Trump's New York criminal trial alleging the falsifying of business documents in connection to the so-called hush money payments. CBS's Errol Barnett on testimony by former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker about former Playboy model Karen McDougal.
Pecker testified that Cohen said, quote, the boss will take care of it as it relates to the payment. And that directly implicates Donald Trump.
New York's Court of Appeals overturns the 2020 rape conviction of movie producer Harvey Weinstein, saying he was effectively robbed of the opportunity to testify in his own defense. Weinstein's lawyer, Arthur Idala.
From our collective hundreds of years of experience, we knew that Harvey Weinstein did not get a fair trial.
Weinstein remains behind bars serving 16 years for rape from a 2022 conviction in Los Angeles. Pro-Palestinian protests fire up at more schools like Emory University in Atlanta. On the West Coast, UCLA alumna Kaya Shaw.
Our university, UCLA, is invested in corporations that are directly profiting off of the Israeli genocide of Palestinian people. And that is why we are here today.
An encampment has also popped up at Northwestern University near Chicago, and the protests have prompted the University of Southern California to cancel its main stage graduation, citing safety concerns. Stocks plunged on Wall Street on disappointing economic data, including the GDP report showing U.S. growth slowed sharply last quarter to a 1.6% pace. The Dow dropped 375 points. NASDAQ fell 101. Now this.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It is 7:03 on this Thursday evening, April 25th, 2024. Manassas at 57 degrees, heading down to the 40s overnight. Good evening, I'm Dimitri Sotis with the top local stories we're following this hour.
Breaking news on WTOP.
Continuing coverage tonight of pro-Palestinian demonstrators on the campus of George Washington University. Students and faculty from other local schools who support Gaza have been gathering at GW tonight. The university leadership says that they've reached a deadline for the encampment to come down right at this hour. Let's find out what's happening now. We'll take you live to GW at WTOP's Scott Gelman.
Dimitri, I am here on DW's campus looking at a massive crowd. I've been here since the 4 o'clock hour. This is the biggest it has been. They are holding yellow and white signs that say Free Palestine and all U.S. aid to Israel. They are standing in a circle. Many of them are holding Palestinian flags. Standing directly in front of me are three GW campus police, because as you said, the university, in a letter to the campus community earlier today, said that it requested the assistance of D.C. police to relocate what the university is calling an unauthorized protest encampment. I am looking at that encampment now here on campus in the courtyard. There are about a dozen tents of many different colors, many different people either inside of them or sitting on the grass outside of them. D.C. police, again, told us at 7 o'clock, so at this hour, they would be arriving here on campus to basically execute that request of GW leadership to go ahead and help relocate this unauthorized protest encampment. But, Dimitri, at this moment, there seem to be no clear plans to do that, at least not yet. I poked my head around the corner to see if there were any police, either on bikes or cars, anything we could see besides a couple of cars. Have not seen anything, but again, all of these demonstrators are still here holding signs, still speaking at this moment. The encampment's still here. But, of course, D.C. police telling us that at this hour they are going to be activating that request to come in and remove this encampment. And we'll continue to follow the developments to see whether that unfolds here soon in 7 o'clock hour. Reporting live on the campus of GW, Scott Gelman, WTOP News.
Scott, before we let you go out and do some more reporting, why is GW so eager to tear down this encampment right now?
Yeah, Dimitri, all we know based on a letter to the campus community that was sent out earlier today, they say the encampment, unlike some demonstrations in the past, is unauthorized use of university space at this location. They say it violated several university policies by having it here, and as a result, they contacted D.C. police, who are complying with the request to remove that. D.C. police telling us at 7 o'clock, again here 7:05, and at this point, everything's still as it was. Hundreds of people here at GW in the yard, it's called, right near the law school, but at this point, looks like everything is still going on as it has been, but of course, that could change very quickly. We see folks in GW gear walking back and forth here on the perimeters, possibly in preparation for this to end, so of course, we'll continue to bring you the latest developments.
Scott Gelman is there on the scene at GW to bring you the latest tonight. Well, earlier, WTOP's Kate Ryan observed a pro-Gaza demonstration at Georgetown University as students there were making their way to GW.
Selena Al-Shahabi helped organize the protest by the Students for Justice for Palestine at Georgetown University. Speakers took up microphones on the steps of Healy Hall.
We really are having this protest as an end-of-the-year way to show that we really do demand that this university divest. We demand a working group for Palestinian, Arab, and Muslim students, and that we want our university to do more to support us as Palestinian, Arab, and Muslim students.
A Jewish student who did not want to be identified but described herself as pro-Israel was asked about the climate on campus and whether she felt safe. She explained she felt physically safe, but that tension for her is more of an attitude thing. In Georgetown, Kate Ryan, WTOP News.
Other news tonight, a melee involving hundreds of teens in National Harbor last weekend has moved Prince George's County leaders to action. Starting tomorrow, an emergency curfew is being reinstated in the area, pending new legislation from the county council. WTOP's John Doman has more about just how strict this curfew will be.
At least through the weekend, anyone 16 or under will have to be accompanied by a parent or guardian from 5 p.m. until 6 a.m. the next morning under an emergency declaration from County Executive Angela Alsobrooks.
National Harbor creates millions of dollars in tax revenue for Maryland and creates many more opportunities for our residents. But as a result of this unruly behavior, some National Harbor businesses have been forced to close early.
If we encounter any unaccompanied minor,
Police Chief Malik Aziz,
officers will talk to them to see if they fall under one of the exceptions, and if not, officers will work to contact their parents and our guardians to have the child picked up if necessary.
At National Harbor, John Dome in WTOP News.
A high school athletic director northwest of Baltimore is accused of using artificial intelligence to impersonate a principal on an audio recording, making it sound like that principal was saying hateful things. Investigators say the clip contained racist and anti-Semitic remarks. It quickly spread on social media. The principal was temporarily removed from his job at Pikesville High School in Baltimore. Police say that DeJean Darien faked the recording in January following discussions with the principal that his contract would not be renewed. Darien had been the subject of a theft investigation at the school. He now faces charges of theft, disrupting school activities, and retaliating against a witness. Online court records do not list an attorney for Darien yet. He has been jailed on $5,000 bond. Straight ahead tonight on WTOP, how much higher will home prices go this year? And why the people who serve your food at Chipotle are being told to hold the chicken. Stay with us on WTOP.
Michael and Son's Precision AC Tune-Up for only $49. Michael and Son.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks. Let's check in now with Bob Immler in the WTOP Traffic Center.
On 395 southbound, a lot of folks leaving Nats Park, headed for the 14th Street Bridge with the lanes open, northbound DC 295. That slows with traffic leaving the stadium, getting up into Pennsylvania Avenue. But now, northbound 395, the Case Bridge after exit 2, Potomac Park, a new crash in the right lane. Fire department was sent out to look for it. They haven't found it, but we see it in the COBEC 2 camera. Inner loop delays starting at 123, getting into Maryland. Once you cross the American Legion Bridge, you're good to go. Outer loop slow at Telegraph to the Wilson Bridge. And traffic on 395 and 95 doing well. Southbound, you slow briefly in Woodbridge at the Occoquan on 95, and that's it. 66 is running pretty freely. And on the Maryland side, 50 out to the Bay Bridge runs pretty well. 95 on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway doing all right. And they're back early tonight on Route 200 westbound before New Hampshire Avenue, and getting by the roadwork there, single file to the right. We're in great shape on 270 as that is winding down nicely. WTOP Newsroom furnished by Regency Furniture. Shop Regency for the best dining, living, and bedroom sets, plus brand-name mattresses. Affordable never looks so good. Bob Immler, WTOP Traffic.
Now to Veronica Johnson, 7 News First Alert Chief Meteorologist.
Temperatures in the 50s here, mid-50s today, and on the chilly side with mostly cloudy skies. We'll have clouds moving out, turning partly cloudy overnight, and then mostly sunny for your Friday. Temperatures will drop to about 40 to 48 degrees by early Friday, with high temperatures 62 to 65 degrees. On Saturday, mostly cloudy. There's a chance for a few light showers around the area. Between 60 and 65 degrees, the better day by far this weekend, Sunday, 82 to 86 degrees under mostly sunny skies. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
Right now in Upper Marlboro, 57, Woodbridge, 57, and D.C., 57 degrees. Some of us all the way down to 40 overnight in the suburbs. We're brought to you by Long Fence. Save 25% on decks, pavers, and fences. 6 months, no payment, no interest. Conditions apply. Go to longfence.com. Money News, 10 and 40 past the hour with Jeff Claybaugh.
Economic growth slowed to a nearly two-year low in the first quarter, sending the market sharply lower in Thursday session. The Dow finished the day down 375 points. That was 1%. The National Association of Realtors says home prices will rise 1.8% this year and another 1.8% next. Chipotle is telling its workers not to put chicken on their staff meals because of a shortage in customer demand. Jeff Claybaugh, WTOP News.
Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Get a quote at progressive.com. That's progressive.com.
Coming up here on WTOP, we've reached a small milestone in the Donald Trump hush money trial as the former head of the National Enquirer started getting questions from the defense. We'll take you live to New York for the latest on what happened today. Coming up for you on WTOP at 7:12.
At Leidos, a brilliant mind is smart, but a brilliant team is smarter. A ship that finds enemy subs is smart, but an autonomous fleet, that's smarter. Defending against cyber attacks? Smart. Stopping attacks before they start? Smarter. And using AI tools is smart, but integrating trusted mission AI into your technology is smarter. We're not just making technology solutions in national security and health. We're making smart smarter. Leidos.
Breaking news on WTOP.
A D.C. police source is just telling WTOP that the Metropolitan Police Department is now holding and will not move forward with clearing an encampment from the GW campus right now. Just a quick backstory here. Since about 5 this morning, a pro-Palestinian encampment went up at GW University. And since then, hundreds of students and faculty from other schools, from American U, from the University of Maryland, from Georgetown, have all gathered there. There was a 7 p.m. p.m. deadline to clear that encampment. Here we are at 7:13, and D.C. police are just telling WTOP the department is now holding off. It will not move forward with clearing the encampment from campus right now. We have a WTOP reporter on the scene, and we'll keep you updated here on your breaking news, traffic and weather station, WTOP.
The Honda you want is here, so drive in the moment with the versatile Honda CR-V or Accord, all from the 2023 Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com Best Value brand. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 3.9% APR on the 2024 Honda Accord and a 2.9% APR on the 2024 CR-V.
See dealer for financing details based on 2023 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
Weather in the DMV. One day it's nice and sunny. The next day there's a major storm headed our way. But there's one thing about the weather you can count on. 7 News First Alert weather updates every 10 minutes on the 8th. Only on WTOP, Washington's top news.
And at 7:14 here on WTOP, we're so glad you're with us. Catch and kill, checkbook journalism, secret deals. Some observers say testimony by former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker during former President Trump's hush money trial in New York has been shocking, even for people who bring a healthy degree of skepticism whenever they read those supermarket tabloids. Well, Pecker has taken the stand again to reveal details of a deal he made with Donald Trump prior to his first presidential campaign to boost his candidacy, denigrate his rivals, and silence embarrassing stories. The Enquirer does have a scandal reputation, but has also been an iconic part of American culture, and those familiar with the history of journalism will tell you that Enquirer reporters once did break some genuine news. Well, let's turn to another person who breaks genuine news. It's Washington Post courts and crime reporter Tom Jackman. We're glad to have you back with us, Tom. Kind of a small milestone here as the prosecution ended its questions of Pecker and we got a bit of cross-examination. What is the most important takeaway tonight?
Oh, boy, where do we start? Yeah. I guess, you know, the takeaway remains that he knew, David Pecker knew, that paying this money to these people, to Karen McDougal, to a guy who had a baloney story about Trump with a love child, he knew that those counted as campaign contributions and campaign violations when they weren't reported. And so he knew that they were, you know, sort of breaking the law by doing this, although in general, catch and kill, the practice of purchasing someone's story and then not publishing it, there's nothing illegal about that in general. And it turns out that the Enquirer had been doing that for many years, as we all suspected, and some big names got thrown out in that respect, including Arnold Schwarzenegger and Mark Wahlberg and Tiger Woods and Rahm Emanuel. So those were some eye-openers.
Karen McDougal, very quickly, for anybody who doesn't know, and I know a lot of people do, is a former Playboy model who said that she had an intimate relationship with Donald Trump. Tell us how far the defense got today. Anything noteworthy there, or was really just a few minutes?
Well, they started to say, they're making the argument, look, this guy's been doing this for years. He wasn't doing it just to help Trump. This was the standard business practice of the Enquirer to catch and kill stories for people that they liked. And so this way, it wasn't, you know, a cover up of, you know, of election fraud, because this was just standard operating procedure for the National Enquirer.
When we last left you, you were in the overflow room. You could not see jury reaction, but you did have a good view of former President Trump. Were you still in that room today?
I was. It's going to be a battle to get into the real courtroom. But in the meantime, we do have a good view of Trump. He definitely wasn't sleeping today.
Not sleeping.
He was, you know, very attentive to Pecker's testimony. And in fact, Pecker said at the end of the direct examination, the prosecutor said, you actually, you know, don't have anything against Donald Trump. And he said, no, I think Trump is great. He was my mentor. He called me in 2001 after, you may recall, there was anthrax mailed to the National Enquirer and it killed one of the editors there. And he said Trump was the first person that called me and offered me help. And then they sort of started this symbiotic relationship when The Apprentice blew up and Trump was feeding The Enquirer hot stories about The Apprentice.
Very interesting. Only a few seconds left, but was there movement on whether Mr. Trump will face some kind of punishment for violating the judge's gag order?
No, there was just more motions by the government, including stuff today. Trump made a stop somewhere in Midtown and talked to people and made some more comments And those were brought to the judge, you know, within an hour of Trump having made them. So there's a hearing next week on Wednesday to discuss what might happen with that.
We are always glad to hear from you, Tom. Thank you for this.
Sure thing, Dimitri.
That's Tom Jackman live on WTOP, Washington Post courts and crime reporter covering the Lower Manhattan trial. Top stories here on WTOP. Students and faculty from several local universities have been rallying at an encampment at GW University in support of the people of Gaza. And even though there was a 7 p.m. deadline to tear down that encampment, a source from D.C. police tells WTOP they are holding right where they are. They're not going to try to clear the encampment right now. We have a reporter on the scene to tell you more. Members of the U.S. Supreme Court seem skeptical of Donald Trump's claim of absolute immunity, but the decision's timing is unclear. And as you know, the timing of that decision from the high bench is when the D.C. trial may start for Donald Trump. Teenagers 16 and younger must be with an adult or they cannot hang around National Harbor on weekend nights starting tomorrow. Keep it here for full details on these stories in the minutes ahead. We are brought to you by Marlowe Furniture. Wake up to the comfort you've been dreaming of during Marlowe Furniture's floor sample sale. Save up to 50% off Tempur-Pedic floor sample mattresses and adjustable bases at Marlowe Furniture. Now it's time for Bob in the traffic center.
Coming north on 395 over the 14th Street Bridge, the crash is along the right side before you get to exit 1, actually, is where it is. And there's no help with it as of yet. So very slow getting into town. Once you do get beyond it, you're good to go. Southbound, we still have some volume getting out to the 14th Street Bridge on 395 coming from the 3rd Street Tunnel, and northbound 295 as well coming from the 11th Street Bridge into the Pennsylvania Avenue merge. Things are generally good elsewhere. Interloop does still slow a bit from the Dulles Toll Road getting to the American Legion Bridge, but that's easing. 66 a little slow to Falls Church each way, and traffic on the outer loop at about Telegraph slows down a bit getting to and across the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. And on 95 South, just a bit of volume into Woodbridge, and traffic in Maryland on 200 westbound passing New Hampshire Avenue is slow getting past the roadwork there. You get by single file to the right. They set up a bit early. 95 Baltimore-Washington Parkway, 270 each running well, as does 50 out to the Bay Bridge. Bank of America has powerful digital solutions for local and global businesses so you can make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more. Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024. Bob Imler, WTOP Traffic.
All right, Bob, now to Veronica Johnson, 7 News First Alert Chief Meteorologist.
Clouds moving out, but it is going to remain chilly. Temperatures here late evening in the lower 50s by early Friday morning, 40 to 48 degrees. And for Friday afternoon, just a tad warmer than today at 62 to 65 degrees. It will, however, be a brighter day with mostly sunny skies. Now, this upcoming weekend, 50-50, spring on Saturday, mostly cloudy with high temperatures in the lower 60s, and on Sunday, more summery sunshine with a high temperature we're forecasting 85, 86 degrees. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
Hyattsville is at 57, Herndon 56, Foggy Bottom 57 degrees, all the way down to 40 tonight in some of our suburbs. We're brought to you by Len the Plumber Heating and Air. Trusted same-day service 7 days a week. Well, still to come here on WTOP tonight, in just about 60 seconds, that stinky flower smells as bad as ever at the U.S. Botanic Garden in D.C. People are lining up. Stay with us tonight.
The door to your future is wide open when you're a part of a union. Now, the D.C. area's building trades unions invite you to learn more about a career in the trades at the Union Jobs and Career Fair. Saturday, May 4th at the Dulles Expo Center. For one day only, you'll have an opportunity to speak directly with recruiters from across the DMV and learn why joining a union is the start of a career and lifestyle, not just another job. As part of a union, you'll earn money while learning and developing your skills. Build towards retirement by contributing to a pension and earn incredible pay and benefits in the meantime that ensures the comfort and health of yourself and your family. The Union Jobs and Career Fair is Saturday, May 4th at the Dulles Expo Center. That's Saturday, May 4th at the Dulles Expo Center from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Join us Saturday, May 4th at the Dulles Expo Center for the Union Jobs and Career Fair and change your future.
This is WTOP News.
Now 7:23, and I'm Dimitri Sotis. Thanks for being with us. Several shootings across D.C. left three people dead and two others injured on Wednesday night, last night. WTOP's Scott Gelman tells us police are still searching for suspects and don't believe the shootings are connected.
Over a span of about 2 hours, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, D.C. Police Commander Kevin Kentish says there were three deadly shootings across the city.
There's just way too many guns out.
The first was in Southeast, and the others were in Deanwood and near Petworth. Police say they're putting more officers in some of those neighborhoods.
People have access to these guns, and when they get in these arguments, when they get in these, I guess like you said, disagreements that normally would not be handled in this manner, the first thing people are going to are guns.
Here at police headquarters, Kentish explains at least one of the shootings appears to be targeted. They're still investigating and looking for suspects in all three. Data shows that violent crime is down through the first part of the year, and Kentish says the department is working to crack down to avoid a surge similar to last summer's.
We got to get these guns off the street.
At D.C. Police Headquarters, Scott Gelman, WTOP News.
The two people injured in one of the shootings are expected to survive. 7:24 on WTOP. It's back, and it still reeks. The pride and joy of the United States Botanic Garden is in peak bloom. There are lines of people who have been waiting to take a whiff of the corpse flower. WTOP's Jimmy Alexander was among those priming their nostrils today.
And we are standing here with a 7-foot, 1-inch tall bloom of a corpse flower, Amorphophallus titanum.
Devin Dodson, the United States Botanic Gardens, was there when the corpse flower reached peak bloom.
Instead of like one dead mouse, think of like 20 to 25 all in a pile, and they're hot, and you're standing right on top of them.
The stench of the corpse flower is so rank, it's hard to compare it to just one thing.
It smells sort of like sort of dead fish, sort of a weird kind of off, like garbage smell.
The Stephanie is a 16-year-old tourist, and she came up with the best way to make the experience more bearable.
I refuse to smell it. I'm breathing out of my mouth.
From the Botanic Gardens, I'm Jimmy Alexander, WTOP News.
Sports at 25 and 55 on WTOP.
It is now 7:25. Let's check in with Rob Woodfork.
Big nights because we have draft day pizza in the newsroom. Dimitri and I have fresh new haircuts.
Yes.
We're ready to go, buddy. It's certainly a big night for the DMV. DC native Caleb Williams expected to go first overall to Chicago, then the Commanders pick a new face of the franchise second overall. Will it be the quarterback, Jaden Daniels? This morning he told ESPN's Get Up he hasn't received any assurances from Washington that he's the pick. Doesn't mean he won't be, though. If you're looking for draftees to bear hug Commissioner Roger Goodell, it's a draft time decision, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The commish had back surgery 3 weeks ago, and though recovery has gone well, I'm not sure there are any doctors that prescribe taking hard slaps and pressure from overjoyed men in peak physical condition, so he may or may not get that love tonight. Speaking of physical specimen, Darryl Green is having a heck of a week. This morning, the team announced his number 28 jersey will be retired by the only franchise he played for in his remarkable 20-year NFL career. Then tomorrow, Green will be the man to announce the Commanders' second-round pick, assuming that 36th overall selection isn't traded tonight.